Okay. Check. Give me a check, Gregory.
Check, 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 check.
All right. Check. There we go.
Check, check.
Hi. Welcome to Real Liberty Media, folks. And I'm going to do a real short intro for today's show of American Dissonance, Retribution. Refresh. There we go.
It's time for payback. It's time for Boss Hoss.
It's time. All right, 8 seconds. Good. We did that.
Terrific.
So today, let me get back over here to chat, the Chitty Chat channel. Hey, there's Donna. Got the sound chick. She is
sound
an official sound chick. Yes, she is.
She's a very sound chick.
She's very sound, absolutely. Today, this is American Dissonance, Retribution, and this is spinning around here. I'm checking the page. I got some stuff to go through, but wanted to start out with because, hey, everybody's got their own idea. And I had some notes that I lost, those set of notes, but I asked some friends. I may be able to recall a bit of it, but what in their mind is retribution? And what do you think, Grimner, when you hear that word?
Well, let's start off with the name of your show there.
Okay.
American Dissonance. And what does dissonance mean to you in the reference to how you're using it?
Means there's a sway in the way that people are thinking things are going in this world, and they're not happy with it. You don't have to be a dissonant to have dissonance, right?
From what I'm seeing here, I had the Vanna bring up the definition of dissonance there, and it says a harsh, disagreeable combination of sounds, discord. So I'm going to say that your banjo playing is a dissonance.
Yes, it is. It is, and that's the okay. Fun thing about it. And I'll tell you why, because you don't have to be afraid of not being, not only not perfect, but not even good. As long as you're doing something, right? Do something, even if it's not right. That's what Dan in Tennessee says. It's kind of funny. Sometimes that really doesn't apply, but other times it does. How many titles have I got so far? I think, Beth, I think I'm at 4 or 5 here. Because I did a 2-in-1 show, I had to go back and redo my second week. The first week, part of it didn't record, so I combined them. Banjo music doesn't hurt your eyes, Moose Girl. Just saying.
All right. So, so just to clarify, so to you, in the way you're using the word dissonance here,
discord is the shortest definition. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. So people are, and you're saying it's American dissonance versus then global dissonance.
Say it one more time. I'm sorry. I was reading the chat and I lost my
I said, so you're saying it's American dissonance versus global dissonance.
Well, you know, America is the leader of the free world after all. And just like when you're thinking about America, when you say there goes the left coast, so goes the right coast, east and west, right? And I remember growing up as a kid, I'd be going out to Vegas during the summer times, coming back to Tulsa. Pay attention. Yes, thank you for the distraction, Donna. And I'd come back and, you know, we'd have, like the word bitching. Hey, there's my feral cat coming looking for something to eat outside. I was supposed to be paying attention. Okay, squirrel. I did put peanut butter out.
Yeah, you kind of live in a house of squirrels.
Yeah. So anyways, come back. Like I remember we were saying bitching out in Vegas. And so I come back to Tulsa and start the word bitching. And so I brought back like the sayings from the West Coast. But it's like how rap music was invented, right? Left Coast and Right Coast. Well, I'm too sure there's anything right about the East Coast, but in California, it was, what was it, breakdancing was invented by a Mexican stealing hubcaps at a stoplight, and on the East Coast by a Jew boy with epilepsy. Oh, wait. I'm not sure I can say all this stuff. Wait, stop. Cancel that. Back up. We're gonna get kicked off YouTube. All right, here's another one. Not for YouTube. This is another Not for YouTube edition of American Dissonance, because, hey, if you cause discord over there, you know what happens.
You know, speaking of Not for YouTube, and total sidebar here, another squirrel. About a week and a half ago, 2 weeks, if you were posting up on BitChute, then YouTube was not allowing for any BitChute related links to be posted on Twitter. So anytime you tried to post a BitChute link on Twitter, it would come up with some, you know, bizarre thing. Well, there's something wrong with that link. It won't work. So what BitChute has cleverly done was they created another URL. So instead of it being a link directly to BitChute, they have rerouted their BitChute links through a URL called shoot.rocks, and which when you try to post your link to your BitChute video over there on Twitter. Twitter doesn't recognize it as a BitChute link because BitChute found a way around it.
Well, good for them. Yeah, I know. I would click on it and it would say this isn't a safe thing and can go to the safe site, all that crap. Yeah.
Yeah, they beat the censor man at his own game by doing that reroute.
Good for them. That's some mud in their eye. And that's kind of what retribution is, in a way, is some mud in the eye. Facebook, for instance, and their fact checkers, I noticed they've calmed down a lot, except for, I guess, on COVID-related stuff. Ah, crap. There's another kick from YouTube. I said COVID. I meant COVID. COVID. Yes, COVID.
Corona Bologna.
Yes, thank you. Screw you, YouTube. Get bit and get the bit shoot.
So anyway, back to the theme of the show, I guess.
Yes.
Your retribution. So you, I think retribution is making the person or people or group or individual, whatever, that has caused you some pain, anxiety, hurt of some manner or not. Making them feel that anguish back while relieving your own in a appropriate level. Not to go overboard, not to drop the mother of all bombs on them, but unless, of course, they dropped the mother of all bombs on you, which would be equal and adequate, proper. So I think retribution is, equal payback.
I wonder, and I title in here, mercy is the mark of a great man. When does it become wrong or evil or bad, a bad thing to do if it's in retaliation, say? I meant to track this word down a little bit, retribution, and looked at it a little bit, and it's I think I might even have it open over here still in the Oxford. Yeah, they're pretty short. Normally, Oxford Dictionary has a pretty good.
There you go. That's a perfect right there. Punishment administered in return for a wrong committed.
Yeah.
So, and to me, the reason for a retribution would be to prevent them from further causing you more wrongs in your direction, not to necessarily make it so that it's totally disables them from doing whatever they do, just to prevent them from so they can weigh out the benefits of their actions as they saw there was possibly a benefit to causing you pain or harm. So you do something back to say, it's not going to help you to harm us, because you're going to get back at least what you have done to us. And that will prevent you from, you know, doing bad things to me and or others.
Well, I'll tell you, it's kind of like in some situations specifically, it'd be like trying to spank a gator's ass. You know, it's going to happen. You're going to get bit. I'll tell you a story. I went down to Louisiana. I was going down there to get me some gator shoes. I wanted a fine pair, and I got down there, and them Cajuns says, when I asked them where to get some, said, well, you got to wrestle that there gator out there and beat him and drag him up on the shore. And he wasn't a big gator. He wasn't no more than 6-7 foot long, I reckon. And Lord Almighty, he liked to kill me. And I finally got him subdued and drug up on there on the shore. And would you believe that gator was barefoot?
Oh.
No, really. Honestly, he didn't have no shoes on at all. Now, the retribution that I'm talking about is people in response to overreaching government. How far can you go before that gator really turns around and bites your head off? Or drag you down in a gator hole, which, you know, symbolic for taking you into the hole in prison. And, I mean, what they do to people that have so-called wrong the government, people that are in this, that have this dissonance, this discord with the government, are seeking remedy and being beat down at every turn. There's several procedures from the UCC, and he was talking about Donna, and Rob was, he knows about this sort of thing, but eventually it caught up and it wasn't working anymore. And then, you know, you got these people, I'm a sovereign citizen and, you know, I can drive down the road. That don't work no more. Just so many instances. And up in Malheur, Ed, when they killed Lavoie Finicum, you know, even though I believe he was justified to have a fear for what they were about to do to him, and they set him up as a setup for the takedown. He was trying to get to a safe place to the next county over and to that sheriff that he had a meeting with. They all did. But that didn't stop him from being killed. And Sean Anderson up in Idaho decided to run from the police late or early one morning, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and wonder he wasn't dead, shot in the head, and a couple other times, I guess, that he'll most likely be spending the rest of his life in prison, I suspect. What is this retribution that a person thinks that they have, but in reality, there's a power that will stop that. And matter of fact, they use retribution, in effect, to silence the dissonance and the discontent, the discord. And that's really the mark on them, is not mercy by any means.
No, they're never merciful.
They
don't care.
Yeah, they're untouchable, aren't they? Beth, talking about the Clintons, how they've been free of feeling any retribution. They have not. They've not been touched, and probably live and die in this world and still be hailed as heroes long after they're gone.
Yeah, well, the thing about the Clintons is if they feel threatened in any manner, whether it be to their reputation or their bank accounts or whatever, they'll kill you.
Yeah.
They'll just flat out kill you. And they're pretty good at making it look like suicide.
He's shot himself. Suicide.
Arkansas.
Exactly. Killed himself with 3 bullets to the back of the head.
Yeah, while handcuffed. Yeah.
And he hung himself.
There are certain entities that, rather than seek retribution, may just want to avoid. because their tentacles are everywhere. So your retribution may cause you further pain. Are you there?
Okay.
Talking to myself?
Okay, now can you hear me?
Yeah, there you are.
Okay, good. I went to the cough button. I forget which way I put it. So what I'm looking at today and continuing in this theme, I'll have to go back and look. I think this is, let's see, five. Started on the 12th, 2/12, and so what is that? This is five then, right? I do believe. But only four titles so far because I did a 2-1. This is a lot of numbers of twos and ones that come together in this succession in the series. But what I look at it as a fact-finding mission for a just war and it being in progress. There's this I take and copy. It's a through. It says, though the system seems broken beyond repair and injustice, and it ruins many thousands of lives every day, and individual citizens still have the power to override bad laws and bad applications of the law by serving as an informed and courageous jury, and they'd then be jury heroes in the courtroom. Of course, that's not always true. They anytime you try to promote an informed jury, I mean, they might even get you with jury tampering. So what it mean is being repentant, reformed. The jury is a means of equality. The primary objective of the jury system is to give a voice to the community in legal proceedings, in order to prevent governmental oppression, and arrive at righteous verdicts. Yet to meet this demand, this demanding claim, jurors are not only promoted to decide on facts and evidence, but also to ponder on the application of the law. Although the jury lost its lawmaking function in the early 19th century, it is still capable of being a means of equality due to its human perspective on the law that ought to guarantee an interpretation in accordance with our sense of justice. And I think I could disagree with some of that there, because they are in fact not allowed to be an informed jury. And they are instructed on how to make their decision by the judge. So all these legal bindings that come back about, and specifically, and in the radio log here, I've got all this linked where you can click it and read more, but a black letter law. And basically this just states that the law was quite simple. Every citizen, I think I'm getting ahead of myself. I am. The black letter law is a little bit different. That's being that all these judges agree there's this specificity of what is accepted, and so they don't even allow any kind of variance. But again, all these rules inside the courtroom are, you always heard the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. That is not the case at all. So, I stop right there because it goes into something else. But what do you think there, that the jury system is an effectual way of upholding justice?
No part of the legal system is an effectual way of holding up justice. It is all corrupted and controlled, so that they don't have an interest in the truth. They don't want to know the truth. And they don't want you to know the truth if you're part of the jury. And I can tell you this for sure, because I myself have been harassed handing out materials from FIJA. That's the Fully Informed Jury Association.
Yeah.
FIJA.org. That's not allowed. And if they will come and harass you for trying to hand out information to the rest of the jury pool from that group, or anything that points out the fact that the jury is allowed to nullify based upon the fact that it's a bad law.
Right.
They don't want that information out there. So
there's people that have been charged with jury tampering for doing just that very thing.
Yeah, so if they want to prevent the jurors from being informed and knowing the actual rules and the law, then of course they're doing that because they want to control the way the whole trials go. It's corrupt. It's corrupt from the bottom up and the top down.
I give a good example there in the Bundy case in Vegas. The prosecution, they'd already been with Brady violations. This guy, Mowry, he'd been using these tactics and been caught before. And it's like, well, that's just the way we do things. And did the same thing. But it was so blatant this time. And the only reason it was brought to light was because Ryan Bundy was so persistent and adept at redirecting and asking for certain answers and finally come about. That was an evidentiary hearing that it really started with that gal that worked for the Forest Service, because they were saying that there were no cameras, no snipers that were positioned against the Bundys out there, when in fact in 2014 it was common knowledge. I mean, they went and got their one of their cameras and was walking around and everybody was seeing it. So how are you going to tell me it wasn't? And they wouldn't allow that, or that the fact that they were being surveilled with snipers and stuff, that wasn't allowed. And no right to self-defense. You know, it's like when they come for you, you comply or die, right? That's your choices. So what's the trick?
Yeah, that's it.
For sure.
Those are your choices. That's it.
Now, I go to, as myself, being a witness, and that's one of my roles. I mean, I claim a lot of roles in this life, and that is one of them. So when we consider the black letter law, that what is evident, and we see that the law was quite simple, that every citizen owes to society the duty of giving testimony to aid in the enforcement of the law, and a witness is not excused from testifying because of his fear of reprisal, threatening his or her, threatening his and or his family's lives. It was black letter law, as they say, carved in stone over the years by hundreds of judges and justices. So some people accept a plea deal, and others do so and then testify against co-defendants, and in fact selling out. That's the way the system's set up. Whoever rolls over first, you know, gets the deal. But they intend to crucify their target. I took this from John Grisham. They deserve to die, and I hope they burn in hell. And a time to kill. And also, yes, he wrote this riveting story of retribution and justice. It's a good book I listened to. They made a movie. I think I've seen it a long time ago, Matthew McConaughey. But I didn't remember when I was listening to the book, which I think I'm pretty sure I listened to it before. So, I don't know, I think maybe 20 hours or something, audio book. I like my buddy's back. Hey, Grimner.
What's that?
Let me give you the mic just a minute. I think I got somebody pulled up. Let me give you the mic just for a minute.
What? Okay, fine.
I'm sorry. Right, hold on. I'm just going to holler out.
Okay, go ahead. All right. So, I'm just reading the chat here while Vinny's talking. And Vinny hangs on to the just us system. Yeah, yeah, definitely. And you know, most people do. It's it's a curse, and you can see it pretty far and wide. Even here in Real Liberty Media, you know, we got people that come in here free enslaved. Not going to mention any names, free enslaved, but that hang on to the justice systems, the legal system, as if it is going to help them, it is going to benefit them in some way down the line. And it's only going to benefit you if they want it to benefit you. It's not going to benefit you if you're going against them.
Hey, sorry about that.
You back?
Yeah, buddy pulled up. There's a deer just standing right there. You just hit him in the head with a rock. They're thick around here. He pulled up on the bed. Oh, speaking of which, built wild. There was a colt raised by goats. So the story goes that a herd of goats yes, came upon a colt in the mountains trapped under a rock. They rescue him, then raise him as their own, teaching him to navigate the craggy terrain and rough waters of the region. Sturdy, confident, and now immensely capable, the horse transforms into the adventure-ready, all-new Bronco. Are there in trademark up there, Built Wild. Yes, the paraphrase, plagiarist strikes again.
Yep, I like that new Bronco. I mean, I like the concept, the idea of it. Anyway, I don't know about actual practice. I mean, they look cool. They got some nice features. I don't know about the power and such, but they say, oh yeah, we got all these goat modes built in, so you can, you know, go through any kind of terrain. So,
I bring that in.
But again, I'm not going to pay $45,000.
No kidding.
For a freaking car.
Nice to look at. So I bring this in because we think of ourselves maybe as being in this, what we're supposed to be, what's right in the society. And some of us see it and understand it, and other people just accept it. So to be kind of the goat, you know, what do you get? It's Dan Oaf. He says a lot of cowboyism, a lot of smart stuff. And one thing he told me a long time ago was, is you don't fence goats in, you fence them out. So the goat's kind of the outlaw, right? Sheep, you fence them in. They're simple to fence in. Cows, pretty much so, but they're tricky. You'll get some. They'll jump the fence. You can't never stop them once they start or go plumb through a fence. Now, others, they want on the other side of that fence so bad, you know, because the grass is always greener, of course. And this one old farmer, he is telling me a story once. He says, boy, I had to watch her every time I'd go in and out. And he said, finally, she got by me one time and ran out there. And first thing she done was stick her head back through the fence and started eating grass. Now, that just tells you, you know, sheep and cattle and how you compare that, you know. So that horse, that wild Bronco, that Mustang, you know, that adventure ready. All new. So we got to break out, you know, all this. And there's a saying that said that they were exalted and that ravens brought them bread and they drank out of the brook. Being ready. Being ready is where we got to be. We got a message to tyranny. Ah, what agony. At what agony was that? What despair when the tomb of memory was rent open and all the ghosts of his old life came forth to scourge him. There are many are called and few are chosen. We have a destiny in this world, maybe. What? No, I think we make it as we go. And we remember that mercy is the mark of a great man. Stabs a little. Well, I guess I'm just a good one. Stabs a little more. Well, I'm all right. I'm just all right, baby. Well, I find serenity anyways, and that comes from Maul Reynolds. He was an anti-hero, or perhaps more specifically, a partial moral relativist. And he would kill those who threaten him with a philosophy that if someone tries to kill you, you try and kill them right back. He's not above joking with his crew or picking bar fights, but he retained his honor in the face of adversity. It's a firefly of being that light, right? Yeah. You ever watch that Serenity Firefly show? Sci-fi?
I did, yeah. Yeah,
I liked that one. I guess I probably watched all there was in them. I like sci-fi.
Summer Glau.
I don't remember their names. That must have been one of the pretty girls.
Oh, no. That's the actress's name, yeah, the little chick, Summer Glau. Yeah, she's Anyway, I got a message here from Chloe.
Okay.
That says, she's, I got too many Chloes. All right. It says, if the legal system benefited you, you wouldn't turn it down either. Well, that may be true or it may not be true. If it benefited me in a way that did not cause undue harm and unjustified harm to others, and they were going to do something that was proper and not outlandish, as they typically do, then I would say, okay, if I'm going to, sue a person to get my retribution, as it were, then I would probably accept that judgment. However, I've never been in that situation, so I can't really say. Now, if they were going to do something, like say somebody caused me $100 worth of damage and I was suing them to get that $100 worth of damage back, and of course the lawyer would, he'd want millions because that's how lawyers work. They want millions because they get at least a third of whatever the judgment is. And I would say, no, I don't think so. They didn't cost me $1 million in damage. They only cost me $100 in damage. And so you can't really go through the legal system, mostly, at least not with a lawyer, and to get your $100 back, to be made whole again, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did you go away again?
No.
Am I talking to myself here again?
Can you hear me?
Hello? Is this the Grimnair show? Yeah, I hear
you. Wow, man, you got me over here. you the oogie boogie, man. Do you know who the oogie boogie is on The Nightmare Before Christmas? Burton. You ever watch that movie?
Tim Burton?
Yeah.
What about him?
You heard of that one there? Oogie Boogie? The Oogie Boogie
No.
Man? That's from that
No,
movie. He's the villain.
I knew he did the movie The Nightmare Before Christmas, but I don't think I ever watched it.
I don't think I watched it very much because it was like, I don't know. It's kind of dark.
If there's
dark.
Something called Oogie Boogie, I'm probably not interested.
Well, are you a gambling man? One more roll of the dice ought to do it. Let's play the Living Dead Boogie. Now, these are clickable right here. You can click the first one and find out about who the Oogie Boogie Man is. And let's play the Living Dead Boogie. That one you'd probably like. It's certainly copyrighted. Well, shake hands with the devil. That, oh, here's another game you can play. And you put this in there. When I said something about something about a top, spinning like a top or something. It's a Drydell. Remember that?
No.
That word Drydell. That little game thing. It's not a top, but it's a dreidel.
Dreidel. A
dreidel. Yes, dreidel. Thank you. Hey, there's all kinds.
Haven't you ever listened to Adam Sandler doing his Jewish songs? He does that one dreidel dreidel song.
Donna said it's an introduction to gaming and games of chance for our Jewish youth.
Yeah, it probably is. I mean, you have to. Yeah. I don't know how it's played. I know you just spin that thing and whatever.
Hey, I saw a really good movie. I watched it twice, and I copied some stuff here and I wrote some other stuff, but it really fits, I think, into the idea of retribution. It's a whole new tale, though. It's before that, being a wanted man, the cause of freedom. And it's the fight for freedom. It goes on. Overall, there's another story to be told, one where Fat Man really questions the motivations of its lead character. Mel Gibson's badass Santa is obviously prim for some sweet revenge in a world he increasingly disapproves of. But the most logical endpoint would see Chris taking out dictators and rogue agents. I mean, there's that idea, what was that one show, dadgum, with I farted. It'll come back to me. Anyways, that force of good, right? Santa, he's supposed to be a good man. He's a badass Santa in this. But anyways, only to end up facing himself in the mirror and wondering where the line between naughty and nice truly lies. At least that's one way to that this potential world could pan out, you know, if there was that magic man. But we find much ado about nothing in accusations of the villain instead. But the mob never forgets. So, right, they stir them up. Here comes your propaganda. You know, stealing the show, it's a game stopper. Me, I type, therefore I am. Yet tyranny runs rampant. So you might call this unprecedented protest. Yes.
Just to try and get this back to your topic of the day, retribution.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say? I mean, well, okay. First off, why did you select that topic for today?
Well, because there is this fight in the American dissonance, and some people feel. I mean, we honestly could tip very quickly into civil discord, civil unrest, civil war even, and then the other side, that this idea of revolution, you know, and what other people call inappropriately call anarchy, where the destruction of peace. Peace is truly found by settlement in the law. Unfortunately, it's corrupted into the courts, and we have the Bar Association rule instead.
Okay, so you say that peace is brought about by settlement in a court of law?
No.
Well, what was it exactly you said there?
That peace is settled in law. Law, true law, which is not corrupted by all these words and phrases that, you know, even if you try to use them in a court of law, it's like, you're playing a rigged game, and go back. You want to go with the roll of the dice, the oogie boogie man, because that's where you're at, you know. You're
right
there with accusations of the villain, and you're trying all this stuff, and what are you accomplishing? Much ado about nothing. In the meantime, there they are demonizing these people in media. Remember, the mob never forgets. But
okay. So, all right. So that's where is the retribution part coming in? I understand that. Okay, it's possible that there will be some civil unrest, civil discord, such things like that. Of course, and that will not bring about peace. That'll bring about more tyranny, right?
Yeah.
Generally, when those kind of things happen, then the tyranny jacks itself up to a higher level. The tyrants, with the tyrannical so-called leaders. Where does the retribution come in there?
Well, mainly I see it coming from the government in back onto the people in any type of manner of protest. Or any type of, what kind of words could I call it, counterinsurgency, in a sense? Because, I mean, we are an occupied nation. There's a lot of examples. The Browns, you know, they protested, revolted against taxes. Gordon
right.
Call, you know, who I spoke about in the first two broadcasts, where did he end up? Ed Brown's still in prison. Even against the Supreme Court rulings that just kind of took that double sentencing of all those years, and which they did for the others, Daniel Riley and Jason Gerhardt and Ed's wife Elaine, so they're out. But Ed, he's being detained. That's retribution from this judge that specifically. Not only did he not reduce it, but he gave him some more time. They do what they want to. That's
right.
That's
so it's tyranny. It's not really retribution at that point. It's just tyranny.
Yeah, they take retribution against him because, you know, he makes headway and they retaliate. So retribution is also, you know, in the sense of retaliation. People are thrown in the hole because of their political positioning. You know, Schaefer Cox, many others that want to stand out against the oppression, then they get knocked down. They're singled out. They're targeted. That's where you get
right. Target
on your back. Zach De La Rocha said your anger is a gift. Served cold, frozen in blocks, which would hurt when thrown.
And Rage, he said he's the guy from Rage Against the Machine?
Rage Against the Machine. So I messed up in my... somehow I had some funny stuff going on when I was making this blog here, but it took out some links or whatever. But it's there. It can be looked up. I come down past the hero, victim, and villain alert, and I have news on Nolte and Doucette and a phone call from Stephen Nolte in Colorado prison. He's messing with his Judge Anna von Ritz or something, and the same kind of thing Doucette was doing with this continental judge stuff and filing papers and stuff like that, trying to put liens on officials because there is no common law. Colorado did away with that and they codified it. So, you know, it's more stacked against you stuff. It's kind of like the pocketbook of boners and unorthodox taxidermy. And I did have a link copied for that, but it's gone away too. Anyways, it goes about pain and degradation, and they will burn your village to the ground. They have to kill us because they can't break our spirit. That's what John Trudell said. Sometimes they have to kill us. He said we're taking a line that is rightfully ours. We choose the right to be who we are. We know the difference between the reality of freedom and the illusion of freedom. Brings us in to there is a way to live with the earth and a way to live. Wait. There is a way to live with the earth and a way not to live with the earth. And we choose the way of the earth. It's about power, he said. And we find the wretched afflictions that are cast upon us. Right?
Okay.
Here it is where I've said this, what we're saying about peace settled in law. It says peace is settled in law, not the law, but in law and justice by restoration of the harm, not by retaliation or retribution. Collusion, conspiracy, and conflict of interest permeate the justice system. That is American dissonance.
Okay, I'll buy that.
Is that good?
Yeah, and where's that from? What's that quote from?
From me. Yeah, I took part of it in Lessons Learned from Behind the Woodshed about peace being settled in law. That's where my premise comes from.
Okay, but you say in law, but not in the law.
Right.
So, therefore, how is that accomplished?
Well, that is the American dissonance, is it not? People are trying. They're trying to go and fight the battle in the courts. But once you get in the courtroom, you've already lost.
Right. Yeah, you're on their field, and you're playing by their rules, and their rules change to benefit them whenever they see that you are actually gaining ground.
See, now, I'll tell you something about myself.
But that doesn't answer the question.
Okay, ask me the question again.
Okay, since peace is achieved in law, but not in the law, meaning in their system, so how do you do it? How do you get it?
See, that's the whole dilemma, isn't it? That is it, because people have tried remedy, and they don't get it. They sink it through all the channels and means available to them, but no, it doesn't come. That's why this is a fact-finding mission for a just war in progress. Because I believe in peace. non-aggression policy, but that doesn't mean that there's not a time for not let somebody beat you down. When does it happen?
Oh yeah, I mean self defense, protection of your your own property. If you attack somebody for going after you or your property, that does not violate the non-aggression principle. That is you're not aggressing at that point. You are defending. You're protecting. So you perfectly fine within the NAP there.
Well, you know what happens when the law comes for you. You can do or whatever, think whatever you want to on that, but they're gonna kill you dead.
Well,
and that's what would have happened. Yeah,
you call it law, but I call them jackbooted thugs.
Yeah, I don't call that the law at all. Law.
You said when the law comes for you.
Yeah. Okay. Right. So I stand corrected. The law. Yeah. The Johnny Law. Jackbooted Johnny. Yes. But law is, it's almost, I would think, to be universally understood, a right and wrong. I mean, we have this, unless it's broken, it is broken on some people, that inner voice that tells you right from wrong, your conscience. And the farther you walk away from the one guy on your left shoulder and go toward, tilt your ear to the other, the more you tend to listen. So yeah, I think we choose our path, and there is a righteous path. It is complicated in how we navigate through this world right here, especially when you're dealing with mostly when you got something, then that's when you got more to worry about. Like the Bundys out there, and they've got the grazing rights and the water rights out there on this land, and powers that be want it. So they've been about decades about removing the folks off there, that out of 50, I believe it was 53 ranchers out there in that part of Nevada. He was the last one, and not give up, but they come to kill him. Now, if it wasn't for all the hundreds and thousands over time there that came and stood in the gap, there is no doubt about what would have happened to him and his family, because they were prepared to kill him.
Yeah, they're an invading army, and they want your stuff. They're pirates.
Yeah,
they want to come in and steal all your stuff, and if you wind up dead, that's probably preferable to them.
So what is law? So what I possess, what is mine, and nobody has the right to come take it. Nobody has the right to come and assault me. Or to extort me, right? Which that's what this.
That's just another form of theft, yeah.
Yeah, right. Now there's a difference, right? And let's say, all right, if you want to join into this program, and I'll give you so much of my check, and then at the end I'll have all this money there after I decide to go and retire, but. In the meantime, they're taking this fund and they're stealing from it from the whole time, and then come back and pay you pennies on the dollar. Just like these...
And act like they're doing you a favor.
Right. Uh-huh. So, I'm not against proper, and I hate to use the word government, but organization that, is a confederacy of peoples that, you say, okay, here... you go protect our rights. And what do they do instead? They go there, spend their career trying to write bills and stuff, and make more laws. And it's like, I think we ought to be sending people there that are taking laws off the books, because we are trading one form of slavery for another, said Clive and Bundy.
Yes. That is true. When Lincoln did the Emancipation Proclamation, saying, all right, everybody's free now, no more slaves. Well, he was overridden by the banks. And the bank said, no, not that nobody's slave. Everybody's slave now, so you're equal.
Yeah,
you wanted equality. Here you go. You're all freaking slaves.
Yeah, and you read it, and Hal reads it, extractions, pains, and punishments, and among other things. Yeah,
exactions.
Yeah.
Not extractions, exactions.
Exactions, oh, yeah, but they'll be extracting a little hide off, yes, if you ain't got something to pay, right? Just ask the IRS. Uh-huh. You know that even the Department of Education has, and people argue for this, I guess, that they have a SWAT team unit now, like all the other.
Who does?
Department of Education.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You know, like they armed all the Department of Interior, the Forest Service, the Fish and Wildlife, Bureau of Land Management. I mean, these guys got tactical units, you know, like you'd think of in Los Angeles SWAT teams, you know. And who makes up these units? Well, obviously people with past experience, and where you get them from the wars that we keep perpetuating overseas, you know, in the interest of empire. Because really, I mean, we're not trying to free anybody. We're not trying to export democracy.
Nope.
So what do you do? People protest against this. What happens? Comply or die. That's where we're at.
Right.
Ammon Bundy, he's been in the forefront in national news, continuing there with his resistance to being masked up. They were making laws in the state, the House or the state Senate or whatever it was there in Oregon, and he went in and took a seat in the press box, and they want to run him out of there. Now, what is the press? Mine was a big old cardboard sign. One of my first ones simply said media on it when I went to 2014 Bundy Ranch. And then you helped me shrink her on down to where I could hang it like a lapel and wore it in the courtroom. Used it for identification to cops all throughout. Identification and notification. What is that? It makes me press. Because why? Well, I could just write one little sentence on Facebook and give opinion, and that would still make it press, the freedom of the press. I don't need endorsement by some supposed mainstream media that makes it true. So going back up there to black letter law and what obligation were you at? Yeah, there. That every citizen owes to society the duty to give giving testimony in the enforcement of law. The law, it says. But more importantly, into the violation of that enforcement of the law, and that's what I saw. And deception the whole way. When Sheriff Gillespie shows up before he goes up on the stage, and there I am in the photographs that go around the country and even around the world, that was my Forrest Gump moment in history. But I was involved in getting that stage set up for the with the speakers, and long story there. But Gillespie comes up and he says, yeah, I got the call on the way out. The feds are packing up, headed out, just standing down. And then, after an hour, you know, give them a little extra time, I go down there to release the cattle. And there they are, this military unit standing with fully loaded automatic weapons, assault rifles, yes, because they were intended to assault Americans. But with a few hundred people standing there in the gap, it kind of made them back down. So what can we do? Unfortunately, it takes a lot of people, and that plays against you as well. There comes the agent provocateur. Look what happened in the D.C. at the Capitol. And unfortunately, these cults, they think they're goats. Unfortunately, they're still running with the cattle. And the wildness is gone. Most people are tamed. There's, I see very little hope. I think the world's gone so far that I at one point I thought that we were diverging, tipping it back upright, but I just don't know. Especially after Trump and Biden in these last few years, the idiocy reigns in America. Are you a colt or a goat? Are you a ram or a lamb?
I'm water.
Jackie Chan.
Bruce Lee.
Oh, hey, him too. yeah. There ain't no John Wayne.
Ain't no freaking John Wayne. No. Yeah. No, I'm not. I'm no cowboy.
Yippee-ki-yay. Oh, here I am. I'm over at chat. I was out of chat the whole time. Looks like I missed a lot.
I find that sometimes when doing a live show, it's best to be out of chat.
hard to keep up.
Yeah, that could be a major-ass distraction right there.
my food didn't show up.
What's that?
My food didn't show up. He's pretty distracting.
My food didn't show up either. Of course, I didn't order any food, and nobody. My food won't show up until I go make it.
My food, Sardini from Algiers. Yeah, he's been.
Oh, that guy. Not yeah. food.
yes. Yeah. He's been a Facebook friend for. Oh, since about the beginning of me getting on Facebook when I went. I thought that was pretty awesome. That's what I really loved about, one of the things I really loved about Facebook in the beginning was be able to actually go around the world virtually and meet people. And so, I mean, talk through Skype to folks that become friends with down Australia and England and other parts of the world. It's just... this day that we live in, we have so much potential and so much chance to make right the wrongs of this world. And unfortunately, and it's going to be expedited very, very soon, the toughness, the roughness, and that is life. Yes, my food. That is upon us. And the dollar, oh, man, this COVID relief thing, what a scam. It's just more transfer to the wealth to those that already got it.
Yeah.
If you got any money, my best advice is spend it now while you can still get something with it. There's a Ma and Pa food. Ma food. What is it, Pa food? Where's our son food at?
Looking for soul food and a place to eat.
So, hey, let's wrap up the last few minutes right here, and let's do a rundown. Tomorrow, we got the Redneck Dentist at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Doc Mike, he's got a pretty good show here. How many is he up to here, reckon?
Who?
Doc Mike, the Redneck Dentist, tomorrow, 5 o'clock.
I think tomorrow's his fourth show. No, Lou Reed, Moose. anyway, yeah, so, yes, yeah, I think he's his fourth show tomorrow.
Distracted by the TTS that Donna was telling me. She befriended him when I was suffering from the TTS. I'm glad to announce that my belly and my butthole are happily in accord. Again.
It's good to have those two working together.
Absolutely.
I think he's going to do some more of the DIY stuff tomorrow, maybe some gardening and such. He's good with all that stuff. I saw a video of his property there. He's got a really nice setup for doing a lot of those type of things. And he's a sharp guy, Mr. Redneck Dentist.
Yeah, Doc Mike, shout out.
Doc Mike, so that's tomorrow, 3 p.m. or 5 p.m. Eastern.
That's
3 p.m. Mike.
And then Sunday, we play trivia. If you got fast fingers, come on along and have some fun. Fast fingered fun. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. That's noon right here. Wow, we're listening to the blues. Yeah,
blues fans.
Noon o'clock.
If you like rock and roll, then you like the blues. You may not realize it, but if you do, then you do.
And you know who. So we got 3 hours of that going on, having fun, and there's always ducks and fish. You can catch them or kill them, befriend them or feed them. That's up to you. This little game that comes along here. I've killed 665 ducks, and I'm going to tell you, I've got my gun loaded. Oh, I can't quite reach it for here. I hope that duck don't come along right now, damn devil duck. 666 ducks will be my next kill of ducks right here at RealLibertyMedia.com, RLMRadio.xyz. 3 o'clock Sunday, Following the Blues, is Hal Anthony behind the woodshed. Been a great big influence on my life. And, you know, it's one of my highest honors. Oh, my God, I heard it. Come here, ducky. Lock and load. I met Hal on my trip in 2017 around the country. One of my highest honors. Great man and very influential, and I think probably the preservation of my life and freedom all through these walks and stands that I've done and the Ponder Gander. Monday, 2 o'clock Eastern, we've got it's all connected with you. Mr. Mossberg. So you and Circle are doing It's All Connected.
It's all connected.
That's Mondays at 2 o'clock Eastern time. And we have no Tuesday, no Wednesday. We're back again on Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern time with you and Moose Girl's new show, which is Free Your Mind.
Free Your Mind. Yeah. We're still finding our direction and working out some kinks, but whatever. We still did a show, and I thought it was all right. I don't know how everybody took it.
I like it. Yeah, but I mean, everybody likes you and Moose Girl, and we'd probably feel a great loss if y'all had not come back with a new show after 13 years of the Freaker's Ball, y'all.
Right. Yeah.
I really enjoyed doing this show with you today. Gave me a lot of ease through connecting through this and walking through that. And I didn't even grab up my notes and nothing like that or play any of the other stuff that I was intended on to. And I got a couple of pages. But I think I started rewriting some of that, and it needs a little bit more rewritten again. Telling about the fat man. And really and truly, I'm a fat man inside, and I've about killed that man. We relate the fat man to want and desire. And there's also good want and desires, too, that we want to do good and do right. And so that's the fight we're in this world, because there are those that would do us wrong and harm us and even kill us, lock us away. That'll bring me right back here after y'all getting your show back together. And yeah, we're proud for that. And again, next week at noon Central, 1 p.m. Eastern, it's more of American Distance. It's What Matters, it's Ponder Gander, and I'm your host, Vincent Easley. Mr. Grim Near, he is the man here that is their curator of Real Liberty Media. And thanks again for coming along with me, Grim Near. And I'll go kill this here in a second. You say bye-bye to the folks, and then hang on with me, and we'll come back.
Let me just say that next time, a slight bit more
notice.
Upfront notice would be appreciated.
Yeah. It just struck me all at once. You know, it'd be cool if Grimner came on with me for about 5 minutes and we kind of
intro. Yeah, about 5 minutes.
Yeah. Hey, so listen, what do you think? Can I sign you and your wife up for the new timeshare? Really, really great deal. You're going to love it here. Listen, you can go down to Florida, up north when it's hot in the summertime. We got places everywhere. You're going to love it. So here's
no, but I'd really like to hear more about the extended warranty for the vehicle.
Flash says, greed is an anchor we refuse to release. Thank you, Mr. Weirdo Flash, man.
Yeah. All right.
Thanks, y'all. We'll see you next time. You know, I'm going to hit a pause.